Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, we've made it to Friday. That's the good news. The bad news is that the heat index is pushing 120 here in Washington today. And the Senate this morning has defeated the Republican version of the debt deal, known as cut, cap, and balance. Not a big surprise. They defeated on a procedural motion. But the good news, and House Republicans, including the Republican Study Committee, are trumpeting this new poll by CNN, of all people, showing that three-quarters of Americans want a balanced budget amendment, which has been something the Democrats have been anathema to. And it looks like about two out of three pretty much like the way Republicans are going after this. Other places in the poll suggest that way more Americans than we would like are receptive to tax increases, but the idea of getting spending under control and getting a balanced budget in place seem to be very popular, and despite what may seem like a tide against the Republicans, they've at least got something to hold on to here with some pretty strong numbers.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those days where we have a lot of bad martini options and not really great ones on the good martini options. One thing I would note is obviously any polling news is good, and I find it really kind of interesting that as we speak, Obama is over at the University of Maryland, once again giving his campaign shtick, in which he basically said everybody's being reasonable except the House Republicans, and nobody should be trying to score political points off this, in consecutive sentences. So, you know, those of us like this who are used to expiration dates, don't expect them to come by the next sentence. That may have been set a speed record. The other interesting thing is when you say, you know, a certain number of people like the idea of tax increases, we should emphasize they like tax increases on somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, none of these people say for your income group, should tax increases go up? I bet you it'd be, you know, 2%, if that. So this poll kind of tells us what we expected. The people like the idea of a balanced budget in the abstract. And then when you put harder choices in front of them, it does well. I think one of the things that are intriguing about this is that as this debate goes on, if I were the president and public opinion were on my side, I wouldn't necessarily feel the need to bring out the roadshow and to be pounding the podium and, you know, taking off the jacket and doing all this stuff. Harry Reid is not voting this week. The Senate is not in session this weekend. No votes before Monday. And remember, I thought the world ends if we don't do this by August 2nd. Some things are, you know, and also there was this rumor that came out from the New York Times yesterday that Boehner and Obama were close to a deal. And everybody denied it, but apparently Senate Democrats are just furious. And they have this perception of the deal was that $3 trillion in cuts over the next 10 years and no tax increases. Now, if we could get a deal like that, Greg, I would say mea culpa. The McConnell plan was crap compared to that. It's a fantastic set of, you know, that hasn't come to fruition yet, but it was leaving these Senate Democrats hopping mad. So if that happens to come to pass, you know, it may be very good. Now, it may have just been a rumor. We're in these state of negotiations where everybody and their brother is going to like leak stuff that they want to see. They're going to leak ideas in order to kill other people's ideas. The whole thing is very much obscured by metaphorically the fog of war, and perhaps I should avoid that in light of the bad martini. But nonetheless, if this is the straight-up political winner that the conventional wisdom in Washington suggests that it is for the Democrats, they're not acting like it is, making me think that it is not actually the big political winner that that we're being told it is.
I think you're probably right about that. I think they're mainly just upset that the president was dealing directly with Boehner and Harry Reid wasn't there to stare blankly at the wall like he has in some of these other sessions, because I haven't heard a word from him on these previous debt negotiations. So apparently him just not even taking up oxygen in the room is enough to throw some of these people into a tizzy. I also like the president's thoughts today about how people like him need to be able to sacrifice more. Well, I want to ask him how much extra he paid into the IRS when his taxes were due this year, since it's the patriotic thing to do.
He claimed itemized deductions of $78,269 last year. If you believe you pay more, you don't have to do that. Those deductions, Mr. President, that's, you know, if he complains he's got too much money, you can take care of that. And for some reason, he had no interest in doing so.
On to martini number two now. Jim alluded to it briefly. And Jim, any sort of massive terrorist strike is still chilling. It's especially bizarre when it comes to a country that's been completely isolated from such activities, and it's Norway, a major government building targeted by what appears to be a massive vehicle bomb. The building contains the offices of the prime minister. The details are still very sketchy, anywhere from a couple to several to possibly even more people dead in this blast. Not really sure who's behind it, but the idea that the nations that are supposedly poking the Middle East in the eye are the ones who are targeted, not really sure how Norway fits into there, and that means either they're getting desperate or they're just taking shots at anyone in the West. And obviously, our hearts go out to the Norwegians and this threat. Anyone who thought that Al-Qaeda was on the ropes or other extremist organizations shows that they still have some punch.
Presuming this does turn out to be Islamist terrorism. And by the way, Apparently, there is a report, not yet confirmed, that there are the police, Norwegian police, believe there may be more bombs in the city. This just happened maybe an hour or two ago, so you know, obviously, lots of details still coming in. But let's say, presuming that this is the work of Al Qaeda or Islamists, we shouldn't really be stunned. It was a Danish cartoon that set off the Muhammad cartoon controversy, but apparently, a lot of papers in Norway published it. I believe they were part of the operations in Afghanistan. They've had issues with radical Muslims up there for quite some time. So we shouldn't really be stunned by this. And as somebody else was saying, you know, I think I saw this comment on Twitter, oh my goodness, Norway is such a beautiful country. How could terrorists do this? And the answer is, well, they're terrorists. They're terrible people. They do terrible things. This is what they do. The idea that a country is pretty, you know, it's not like they attacked New York because it was ugly. I think New York is one of the greatest cities in the world. They do it because they're bastards, and that's the cleanest word I can use. So we shouldn't be surprised that they strike any particular place. Apparently, this bomb went off very near the prime minister's office. He is apparently okay, but nonetheless, we really shouldn't be surprised that they are striking Western capitals. Hopefully, the casualties are not bad. Hopefully, whenever there's a big attack like this, usually it leaves a lot of evidence, and there's a lot of threads that can be led back. I heard some folks worrying about the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and my attitude had been that, look, we heard nothing really significant from al-Qaeda after the death of bin Laden. So I thought al-Qaeda had kind of been a largely spent force. All their best guys are captured or killed, and this attack indicates that maybe that's not the case. But we will see how the details of this terrible event in Norway shake out.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we shouldn't jump to conclusions, but some of the telltale signs are there, like you mentioned. On to the crazy martini now. Not the easiest transition after a story like that, but back to Capitol Hill and the story that's kind of consumed a lot of the chatter here in Washington the last couple of days. And right after the vote in the House on cut, cap, and balance on Tuesday night, Florida Congresswoman and Democratic Party Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz went to the floor and took the opportunity to chastise her fellow Florida Representative Alan West in a neighboring district. Alan West is one of the Tea Party darlings, one of the great new voices in Congress, and basically accused him of taking away Medicare from all his constituents in the Palm Beach area. And yeah, there's quite a few Medicare recipients in that area, which wasn't true if you examine the bill. But nonetheless, that's never stopped Debbie Wasserman Schultz from lying before. So she did that. Alan West fires off this email calling her vile and the most despicable member of Congress and not acting like a lady, and so he will not treat her as such. He, of course, is now being cast as the villain by the liberal media here, and a lot of conservatives are finally happy to see somebody standing up not only to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, but also just the liberal lies that are out there. And Jim, I'm not sure this will help him politically in a swing district. The only thing I would correct him on the record is she is not the most vile and despicable member of Congress. She's in metal contention, certainly. I still think Pete Stark is number one, given all the vitriol that he has spewed over the years. Again, I think the bottom line here is that most of what he said was true, and it's probably not going to help him. So I'm not sure in the end it's going to be a good thing for him.
Greg, you know, we could spend the entire afternoon debating the vility, the vileness of each particular member of Congress. A couple of things kind of surprised me about this exchange. The first is that as harsh and you know, furious as Debbie Wasserman Schultz's comments were, maybe I've been in Washington for too long, Greg. They just struck me as like almost standard issue for a Democrat talking about a Republican.
That's true.
That they want to hurt old people, they hate the sick, they love fat rich people who light cigars with, you know, it really was almost boilerplate Democratic, aren't Republicans terrible, we stand for protecting puppies, yada, yada, yada. West hears this and he takes it personally. And apparently, you know, the comments very did refer to my colleague from Florida, so there's no dispute she was talking about him.
Right.
And he offers this, you know, oh, no, you didn't. You know, how dare you response. I think in a way, almost kind of one of the more, you hear about the insults of the 18th century. There was something almost classic about the way West responded to all this. And, you know, the reaction on to amongst other folks was like, oh, my goodness, this is furious. He's unhinged. He's out of control. And I look at this and think, well, first of all, it's no worse than she gave. You know, the format of you know, emailing somebody to say it's how dare you stands out a little bit. There's a part of me that kind of feels like if Alan West is gets that mad every time somebody calls him an uncaring, terrible person, then Congress is going to be stressful for him because this is the way, you know, debates are conducted in politics these days. Obviously, we know that if this had gone, that the parties reversed, people would be lamenting that the circumstances, the racism of the attacker, No one is calling Debbie Wasserman Schultz racist as a result of this, but I have seen people who had no problem calling Alan West sexist in his response to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. None of these people had the least bit of problem with what Bill Maher says about Bristol Palin and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and every other comment every week. So we only get offended when it's our allies being attacked. No one has across the board principles, it would seem. So I have a feeling this will all, you know, this strikes me as a you know, run-of-the-mill, unpleasant back and forth between new members of Congress. The fact that, you know, perhaps the fact this illuminates how large Alan West is starting to loom in the mindset of conservatives, that more and more of them are starting to see him as their guy. And obviously, look, you know, Avery Wasserman Schultz isn't just some congresswoman. She's also the head of the DNC.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And she is a bomb thrower, a self-admitted bomb thrower. And so, I don't know. I guess this will give MSNBC a 5-minute respite from their Michelle Bachmann bashing. So we'll see how long this lasts in the chatter. Jim, have a great weekend. We'll pick it up on Monday.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Monday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.